It is still good morning, everyone. Good morning. I listened to Art, and as Art said, there are 200 odd men there. I've got a list. I've got a list of the odd ones if you'd like to visit with me afterwards. Some of them were from Dunning. I listened as I watched Art speak and talk a little bit, and he said he went to YPM meetings before and failed to finish his sentence, so I will finish it for him. He went to YPM meetings before there was an alphabet, which made it real hard to get to YPM meetings. But I want to say thank you. Thank you for the chance to be here. And just to go over a couple of things with you is a take a look. First, I want to say thanks. Last weekend, Friday, a whole bunch of men came down and helped us with the building projects, the pool projects, the snack shirt shop, and this week we have SWAT. SWAT has gone through an evolution stage. It started off with seniors with ample time and talent, and my mother-in-law in particular was offended that I called her a senior. And so then she wanted to call it Saints, and I says, I will not give you that title. we ended up with the phrase servants with ample time and talent, and a group of people will be coming in today, I think, and for the week to work. And so again, to the Dunning people, many people, the starting of the SWAT week came from many of the people here, the Schubels, Worleys, the Van Slykes, the Marshalls. Audrey Eaton will be there this week, and we're adding the Hansons to our crowd this coming week. And because of that, I'm leaving. So I would ask you to pray. Tomorrow, 3:30 in the afternoon, Nancy and I get on a plane and fly to Brazil, where I will get an opportunity to speak at the National Christian Camping Conference for all the Christian camps in Brazil. So I'm going to go and train for 4 days in some of the other programs, and then so I'm there those 4 days, and then other 3 days I am speaking at their conference. And so just ask you to pray. It's a great opportunity. It's one of the great blessings what God has done for us in the ministry of Bear Lake Bible Camp. We've had a wonderful chance to reach beyond ourselves. And I was in Spain a year ago and spoke at the National Conference for Spain. And guy picked us up at the airport. And the guy says, my mother is originally from the United States. And he speaks broken English. And he says, she will help you with your Spanish. And I said, she better help a lot because I don't have much. And so we got there. And Sara came in. And so I said, Sara, I says, where were you originally from? And she says, I was originally from Plymouth, Indiana. And I says, really? I said, that's only about 45 minutes from us. And she says, I know. She says, the church I attended as a little girl was Mishawaka Bible Chapel. And she says, the first camp I ever attended was Bear Lake Bible Camp. And she says, the best Old Testament class I ever had was by Dick St. Marie at CIT. And she had checked us all out and everything else. Her husband, Juan, spoke only Spanish. And we had this unbelievable time with them. And it was one of those deals. I was up front, and I was speaking about, have you ever had a bad day? It was one of my topics. I was in Psalm 13. And of course, I got a translator who's helping me go through the things. And so I'm breaking it up in little pieces. And I came in Psalm 13. It comes to the end. And David says, in the course of his bad day, how long are you going to forget me, Lord, forever? How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long are my enemies going to triumph over me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and daily have sorrow in my life? And he comes to verse 5. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. I rejoice in your salvation. And I will sing to you because you've been good to me. And so I'm going through and we're getting all this part. And all of a sudden I look at him and I say, you know, in my upbringing, many times I go back into many of the old hymns that I learned as a kid. And so when I'm singing to the Lord on a bad day, and I say, I'm not a singer, I'm a musical illiterate, which means when people clap their hands to times, I miss. I'm that bad with music. And I looked at him, I said, but I was singing. So I translated, he's doing all this stuff and we're going through it real well. And I turned and I looked at him and I said, I go back to some of those old hymns. And I said, one of my favorites is Man of Sorrows, What a Name for the Son of God Who Came. And all of a sudden he turns and looks at me, kind of like, you jerk. And I'm looking at him, and it's like, what's your problem? Just come on, would you translate it for the people? Let's get going. And what I didn't realize is that, you know, it's a rhyme. And so, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. And he's trying to figure out how to put that all into English. And all of a sudden, he's kind of looking at me like, and I look out, there's about a dozen people that speak English, and they're all kind of looking at each other going like, and finally I looked at him and I said, that's okay. I said, just tell them that we need to sing to the Lord because he's been good to us. So he said that, and I said, I'm going to sing it right now. And he looked at me, he told the people like that, and Nancy is seated over here on the side, and I can see right away Nancy goes. And so I sing it, and Nancy said, Bob, it was a miracle of God. It was a miracle of God. She says, you were on tune. She says, you knew. I mean, it sounded decent. It sounded pretty good. And so I sang, and I you know, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. And I got to the second line, and all of a sudden, about half of the people started singing in Spanish. Somebody had translated the song into Spanish, and about half the people knew the song. And I stood up front, ruin sinners to reclaim, and I heard it coming at me in Spanish. And then, the end, hallelujah, what a Savior. And as I was there, and it's like this unbelievable opportunity that we have, that God gives us to reach out. And so as we go through, I'd ask you to please be in prayer. This one's Portuguese. I know 6 words in Spanish. I know 0 words in Portuguese. And so we will see what happens, but I am confident that God will work. Dave, are you here? Dave Hendrick? Dave, can you come up here just a second for me, please? Dave helped us on the roof to the thing. And Dave, I have a gift for you. Okay? Dave, this is Dave's. I can give this back to you, or I can give you a letter of a receipt for contribution, and then camp could use it.
You can have it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. We're going to be in 1 Samuel. And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Happy Mother's Day, dads. Abby, our oldest, turned 25 May 10th. Abby was born on Mother's Day 25 years ago. Due date was May 15th. I remember it well because I had been speaking at a number of places, and I had said to people, and I looked at some of the men, and I says, men, you've got to learn to plan these things properly. Did you notice that our daughter is going to be born? Because most kids are born after their due date, the first kid especially. And I said, did you notice what we did? How I did it? It is after Mother's Day, but before Father's Day. So I don't have to buy Nancy a Mother's Day present for our first child, but she's going to have to buy me a Father's Day present. I says, good planning, right? And everybody kind of laughed and everything. And all of a sudden, delivery date comes, and it is on Mother's Day. And I had 75 mothers come and say, you are going to buy your wife a Mother's Day present. Are you not? And it will be better than your Father's Day present. And I wanted to say, oh, no, Abby is a good enough present for us. But it was like, I don't think I better go there. But I want to say to everybody, to the ladies that are mothers here, happy Mother's Day. Fathers, I love Psalm 127. My life has been blessed by being able to work with young people. Psalm 127, verse 3, in one of the translations says this, children are a blessing from the Lord. in our hardest, darkest, cruelest day with our children, we need to, as mothers and fathers, we need to rise up each day and acknowledge before Almighty God that they are a blessing. I spoke one time, and Anna, number three daughter, was kind of in this group of young people I had spoken to for the weekend. They asked me to do a thing in front of the congregation at the end. And I looked, I said, Anna, come here. Anna came and stood next to me, and I said, looked at the people, and I said, Psalm 127:3, children are a blessing from the Lord. And I turned and I looked at Anna, and I said, Anna, and I want to acknowledge in front of all you people, these people, you are a blessing from the Lord. Have your kids ever given you a funny look like, I'm going to nail you right now, Dad? You know, and Anna kind of looks, and she's got this mischievous look on her face like, I'm going to get you right now. And so being the quick-witted person that I am, I immediately turned before she could get me with anything. I immediately turned and looked at her, and I said, 78% of the time. You know? And Anna turns and looks at me and says, not to be outdone, she turns and looks at me and she says, Dad, I think it's closer to 90. You know? And I think that as we go through, and I just want to share a few thoughts today, but this idea, Hannah, in God's word, is an unbelievable mother. And I just don't want to get focused on mothers. I want us to think through, and some of the lessons that Hannah teaches us are unbelievably great lessons for all of us to grab a hold of. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm just going to read through verse 20, reference some things later on, but it says, there was a certain man from Ramathan, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of all of those guys. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah's sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. Father, as we take a few minutes in your word, I pray that you would open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to see and to hear from you. Thank you for a godly woman like Hannah who cried out to you. And I pray now that as we take a look, that you would just be at the center of it all. Might we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Just real quickly, for those of you who are note takers, you always like these because there's nine. That's a lot. You say, he's never going to get through here. Nine things I want to give you. Mothers, you know, sometimes I would just like to sit with a mother and say, listen, read that story, and would you talk to me from a mother's viewpoint? Because I think sometimes, you know, as I read it and I talk to others and you hear and you figure it out that here's this lady, here's this mother, and she is in distress. She cries out to the Lord and she makes this promise. She keeps her word, the son comes. Do you understand that when she took her son and dropped her son off, she was not dropping him off in the ideal circumstances? Eli's sons, the Bible says, Eli's sons made themselves contemptible in my sight, and Eli failed to restrain them. And here's this mother who's desired this son, made a promise to God. Don't you like to go and say, I feel a whole lot better if I feel very, very safe in presenting my son? So there's this picture, and there's so nine things that we want to give you. Number one comes from verse 2, in that we find that Hannah was unfulfilled. She was struggling. He had two wives. That's an interesting thing as you read through here. If you say, oh yeah, you have polygamy in the Old Testament and all these kind of things and everything else, it does not play out very good in this story. And he goes through and it says he had two wives. One was called Hannah, the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And Hannah was in distress. And Hannah felt incomplete. And Hannah felt unfulfilled. And I look, and again, my life has been able to be around young people. And today we face so many young people that are feeling unfulfilled. People in church today, I think so many times people are feeling more and more unfulfilled. I'm working hard, I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm trying this and trying this, and yet there's a sense of unfulfillment. Fulfillment comes through Jesus Christ. Meaning and purpose comes through Him. But yeah, here's a lady who's struggling. Some ladies, I spoke one time, and I was talking through some of these kinds of things, and I looked over, and here's a lady that I knew that desperately wanted children. Just tears in her eyes as I'm speaking. I think she understands. She understands the plight of Hannah. Years ago, when I was doing a purity and holiness at camp, two 26-year-old young ladies came up to me. And one of them looked at me and says, I'm ready to stop going to church. I said, what's your problem? She says, I'm 26 and I'm single. She says, do you know what question I get asked every Sunday at church? She says, usually it's by a nice little old lady in the church, too. And she turns, and I said, I got a guess. And she's like, you're right. Have you met anybody yet? As if there's something wrong with me. As if there's something lacking in me because I'm not married yet. The other 26-year-old who was married looked at me and says, I'm ready to stop going to church too. And I said, what's your problem? And she says, I go to church every Sunday, and guess what question I get asked? Are you pregnant yet? As if you're not fulfilled until you have these children. And I looked at two of them. I said, you guys need to go to your elders and ask if you can teach a course to young ladies on the blessing of singleness. And they went, ooh, is that a blessing? You know? And yet you guys, so much of the life is telling us that we're unfulfilled. And yet our fulfillment comes in Christ and serving Him and giving Him. It is about Him. Bruce said it. You know, so much of our lives, we work to get the approval of people. And to know that I'm approved by Almighty God, that He loves me, that I am a unique, unrepeatable miracle of His hands. Number two, she is favored. First she's unfulfilled, but then she's favored. Isn't this interesting? Because Elkanah comes and he gives out all the stuff for the offerings and everything. And when he came to her, he knew she was struggling. And so what did he do? He gave her a double portion just to bless her more, just to say, I love you, you're important. Woo! And she's favored. But are you ready for this? She does not catch it. She does not feel it. She does not sense it. She, oh, thank you. But still. Anybody dealing with that in your life? We are favored of Almighty God that He desires to use us, to pour His blessings out on us. And yet in the pace of life and all the things, I'm one of those people. I'm sorry. I struggle. Man, I can have 10 people come up in encouragement and all of these kinds of things. Last week with the men's retreat there, we also did the Dillon Memorial Service where Dave and Mary Dillon from Sturgis Chapel years and years ago, key founders in the ministry of Bear Lake, both have passed away, and the family came from 8 states just to have a memorial service. And I watch kids, I'm sorry, they're my age. I watched old people my age with tears in their eyes as they watched and they told me, our parents refinanced their homes 4 times to help make this happen. And I said, do you feel like you got cheated? We have been so blessed of God. And our family has been blessed of God. Do we understand today that we are favored? She missed it. She says, oh yeah, I know. But the criticism comes because the third one that I'd give to you is that she's mocked. She's ridiculed. Anybody like that? Anybody like it when you're ridiculed? As I go through, it's like, woohoo, this is one of my favorite things. Come and tell me what's wrong. I know you're going to somewhere. You don't do this right. You don't do that right. You don't. And here's this lady who's got the children. She sees Elkanah give the double portion. And day after day, she goes to Hannah and she says, you don't have kids. You're nothing. I did it right. The line's going to go through me and not through you. And she did it. And the Bible says she did it until Hannah wept. She would not back down. And one of the things I'd encourage us as the body of believers, I would hope that we would be Elkanahs and that we would not be the Peninnah. It is so easy to criticize the other person. I travel quite a bit and I get to go into several churches and some very, very large churches. And one of the things that sometimes that I hear from people when I go into some places is about how great they are. And it is about in my life how great God is. I am a miserable, rotten sinner, comma, because a comma means there's more to come, comma, saved by the grace of Almighty God. And it is about what He wants to do in people's lives. And do you want people to pay attention to whatever it is that you do? Do you want all those things? I struggle with all that just like everybody else does. But I dream of when the credit comes and when the accolades are passed out. In my mind, I dream of taking anything that happens, scooping it up and putting it on a tray and walking to the foot of the cross and setting it down at the foot of the cross and saying, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Criticism will come. Quite frankly, some of it will be justified. We don't do everything right. But when it happens, six men went forward on Friday night and accepted Jesus Christ. Was it about Tom Harmon, the speaker? No. Was it about the musicians that set the things up? No. Was it about Bear Lake Bible Camp? No. It was about Almighty God and God's power and God's work. And yet we will spend so much of our lives, and I get frustrated because the ridicule that comes out that we try to make, sometimes we fight with our own self on us getting what we think we deserve. That anybody else does. Bill Hind is the man who led me to the Lord. Some of you know Uncle Bill. Many years ago, before the alphabet, led me to the Lord. And when I went to Bear Lake Bible Camp, he took me aside and he gave me three words of wisdom. One of those words of wisdom: be careful, Bob, of criticizing anything where more seems to be done for the cause of Christ than you yourself are doing. And I said, but, I said, don't you, I mean, these guys don't do. He said, stop it. He says, it's about lives coming to know Jesus Christ. And you take nuggets like that that come from people and say, thank you, Lord. Number four, she's misunderstood. Anybody ever feel that way before? I didn't mean it that way, but somebody misunderstood. In verse 12, it says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Did you catch this? Verse 13. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. You know what? If we take a stand for the Lord, we will be misunderstood. Will be misunderstood, and right away Hannah looks and says, oh, no, 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 stop, Eli, please. My heart is right. There's everything right. I am in distress. I'm calling out to Almighty God. But she's being misunderstood. Be careful what we see and how we perceive things, because we quickly run out and tell other people what we saw. And what we saw may be something that is misunderstood. Be careful. Number five, she was blessed. Verse 17, Eli answered, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She recognized that she had been blessed. I think sometimes we need to, in our day-to-day operations of life, we need to stop and we need to say, Lord, open my eyes to see how I'm blessed today. Lord, help me to slow down. Help me to acknowledge Psalm 13. I trust in your unfailing love. I rejoice in your salvation. I'll sing to you because you've been good to me. And we need to be people who recognize that we are blessed. Number six, I love this one. She was remembered. comes in verse 19. In verse 19, it says, "Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." She is remembered. I love this part, and I want to be very, very respectful, because it says, notice that they did do their part. Okay? It says, she went and laid with her husband. Okay? It's not like, okay, Lord, you said it, just going to have it happen now. Woo-hoo! You know? I love it when the Bible, when God makes a promise and there's a requirement for us to obey and us to follow and us to do what we're supposed to do. We should make our plans counting on God to direct us. It is always about God's direction and seeking Him. But she took the steps and God remembered. And she was remembered. Number seven. I'm doing okay here. Number seven, I think one of the toughest ones, she was sacrificial. Verse 28, parts that I didn't read, but verse 28. And it says, "So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. She sacrificed. She gave her son. As the Father gave His Son to pay the price for our sins, that we could have eternal relationship with Him. I love the fact that God so much wants to have an eternal relationship with me, that when sin came into the world and cut off our relationship with Him, that He made a way by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, desires to have eternal relationship with me. And here she comes, and now she makes a sacrifice. I don't know, this is where I think I'd really like to sit down and talk to some ladies about this one and say, what do you think, ladies? Talk to me about a mother taking her son up to Eli, who's not in great standing at that time. And most people know about the two boys. And she's going and she says, "I promise to give him to the Lord and I put him into your hands, because I believe that you are the vessel that will go through to him be used of God." Oh, man. How many of you ladies are sitting there going like, you know what, I'd be looking at my husband saying, "No way I'm taking him there. We're going to wait until they get somebody better in charge. You know, God, wipe them out over there, and then I'll feel better about it." But she sacrificed. She made a vow of commitment to the Lord, and she's saying, with all the circumstances and everything else, here it is. Give my son to you. What a sacrifice. I can see it. That's why I say sometimes I think some of the ladies here today on Mother's Day, it's like, oh boy, Bob, whew. I can tell you story after story of parents that say, "I won't do it." I've often said when I get to talk to parents, we should not raise our children to be safe, but we want them to be. There is nothing safe about going to all the world and preach the gospel. It's scary. And I want my kids to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Safe? Do I want them to be safe? You better do. Right. Number 8 comes in chapter 2. Her prayer, I hope all of you will go home and read her prayer. But number 8, she was a provider. 2:19. Chapter 2, verse 19. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up to her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Every year she made a robe for him. Man, I wish I could have just, and again, that's why I look at you ladies and say, "Talk." I'd love to hear your thoughts, because it's like, do you think she just said, "Oh yeah, I got to get that rag over there. I don't have any material. He's got an old, I'll just use that." I got a feeling that there was a great thought process that went into this. The love that went, the prayers that went into this from this mother's heart. She cries out to the Lord when she's barren. And now she's given her son back, and she's doing him a coat every year. She did not get it at Goodwill. I know that. But she provided. And then finally, the ninth one that I give to you comes in verse 21 and 22 of chapter 2. She was fruitful. She's fruitful. Five more kids came. Five more. I love this part, and I finish with this part. God is no man's debtor. God is no man's debtor. She surrendered, and she didn't lose her son, but she gave him totally to the Lord. And five more came. She is fruitful. Went from being a lady who was mocked because she didn't have any children to where the Bible says the Lord opened her womb and she is fruitful. And I'd like to challenge us as I leave and quit here. Does God owe you anything? Sometimes we get into this thing about, oh, God owes me this or God. One of the things I've learned in Christian ministry that sometimes drives me crazy is that we begin to get this God owes me mentality. Oh, I'm working for not much at all. I don't have much money. I don't have this, and I don't have. And all of a sudden, when that attitude takes us over, we all of a sudden have our eyes open to try to grab anything that we can grab for ourselves because it's never, ever enough. And God in His love for us, we cannot outgive God. If we surrender our lives to Him, use me, Lord. And I can tell story after story about God's tremendous. God owes me nothing. I owe Him everything. To Dunning Park Bible Chapel, I can only say thank you. The ministry of Bear Lake Bible Camp is more vibrant and alive because you stand with us. The Tissot family, June 17th, will be our 23rd year there. And some of you have stood with us. Some of you have kicked a little bit. But you know what? You've stood with us, and we have watched God's unbelievable provision. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. And are we willing to be the person that will say, Lord, I sacrifice and I bring it to you? Thank you, Father, for this time, the way that you give of yourselves and the way that you bless us. I thank you for the story of Hannah, a godly, godly woman. And I pray that we would grasp a hold of some of the things, some of the nuggets that she in her life practiced and exemplified for us, and that we would trust you, we would seek you. Thank you, Father, that you love us, that you provide, that you care, and you know it before we even cry out. But Lord, that we would be people who would cry out to you, seeking to see people come to know Jesus Christ in a real way, seeking to see people grow in their faith. And then we will understand over and over again that we are blessed, and we are blessed by you. So guide, direct us as we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.